On this third Sunday in the season of Advent, we call Gaudete. In Latin, this means rejoice. We are in this place to rejoice and celebrate that Christmas time is almost here. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
is a time to prepare. During Advent, we prepare our eyes to see the light of Christ. During Advent, we prepare our hearts to receive the word of Christ. During Advent, we prepare to share the joy of Christ. During Advent, we prepare to embrace the promise of Christ.
Third candle. The first candle reminds us that Advent is a time to wait upon the Lord. We wait for the unfolding of God's plan in accordance with God's time. The second reminds us that Advent is also a time to watch. During Advent, we eagerly watch for God's presence and work in our world. As we light the third candle, we also remember that Advent is a time to prepare. During Advent, we prepare ourselves in heart, soul, and strength to welcome our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. Let each of us ask God to prepare us to celebrate the glory of Christmas.
And all the time. We greet you on this third Sunday in the season of Advent, on this Rejoice Sunday, as we celebrate that we are growing closer and closer to the night of Christ's birth. As we worship today, we want to extend a special greeting and welcome to all the visitors who are with us. Many of you are family and friends of those who have been preparing and working for months and months to provide this service of music and celebration. If you are a visitor with us, we encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. If you have not already made your contribution to the CBF Global Missions offering, we want to let you know you can still do that today as well. And we want to remind you that tonight at 4 o'clock, we have a missions opportunity, and that's a big part of what Advent means. It's a time to serve the needs of others. So at 4 o'clock, we're gathering upstairs in the fellowship hall, and we'll be going out caroling to those who are in nursing homes and those who are shut in or those who are just sick and in need this time of year. So if you'd like to be a part of that, everyone is welcome. It's well coordinated. It's a wonderful opportunity for deacons to check in on their deacon families. So today at 4 o'clock, we hope to see you there. And again, we want to especially just say a word of gratitude to Gay and all the hard work. Where she's hiding, there she is. Gay and all the hard work that she has put in leading this, as well as all of those who are ringing bells, those who are adding their voices to this cantata choir. They really have put in the extra effort to make this a wonderful time of worship together this morning. We do have one bit of business we want to get out of the way before we continue worshiping. John Russell is going to come and just share one quick correction to something from the roundtable meeting. It's on. There you go, John.
Thank you. We don't want to take long with this because we have something great coming up. In the email we sent out, and everybody doesn't get email, I understand, I'll have extra copies of the copy of the email, but just a straightforward, Janice and me met again Tuesday to confirm the amount in each money market account. No, there's a little misunderstanding, and we've corrected in that email. So basically in checking, we have like $4,960. The donations up to this point this year towards the budget was $252,369. Expenses are $283,322, with a negative of $30,953. The amount in money market, the building fund is separate at $44,546. In special funds, we have $25,785. In contingency, actual contingency money, we have $8,936. And an undesignated gift at $33,790. So Janice, me are straight, and we're going to have bank statements always at the next business meeting. Sorry for the little confusion, but if you don't have email or don't have a copy of this, I'm going to leave about 30 copies out there. Any questions, please ask. Let's get back to the glory of God.
Thank you, John. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Would you bow with me? We invoke the name of the Christ child born in Bethlehem, whose name we seek to celebrate and honor on this third Sunday of Advent. O God, send your Spirit amongst us. Speak to us through the words of Scripture, through the words of song, through the words of prayer. And Lord, we pray not only would you be glorified and worshiped this day, but that you would teach our hearts to sing aright the song of life and faithfulness. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. If you would stand together as we sing our offertory hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. Thank you.
and all we have to do, help us stop to hear the angels sing, Lord. Help us know that your son is coming and he is born soon, Lord. Please help us remember that thought and the true meaning of Christmas. Bless these gifts and the givers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Once upon a time in a land far away. The stories we tell nowadays often begin this way, but for those living 2,000 years ago in ancient Judea, the stories were usually about what was to come, not what had already happened. For centuries, prophets had been predicting the coming of a Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But when would this Savior come? Was the story nothing more than a myth, a fairy tale, or a bedtime story? Then an angel came to earth to tell a young virgin named Mary that she would soon give birth to the Son of God. The excitement must have been overwhelming in heaven. Finally, this dream would be reality. This prophecy would be fulfilled. The story of the ages would finally unfold.
Thank you.
On earth, however, the story of the birth of Christ was still somewhat of a mystery. No one had actually worshipped Jehovah in the flesh before. So the idea that a child born in a stable was truly God, well, it might have sounded outrageous. But shepherds out in the fields had an angelic visit of their own. The angels told them the story. After that, they had no doubt that this child they would find lying in a manger in Bethlehem was indeed the holy, infinite God. There was a man named Joseph, a carpenter from Nazareth, whose part in the story was unclear even to him. Yet an angel visited Joseph to guide him and to reassure him that God had it all figured out.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem.
And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes a message from the angel come to life.
And Joseph said, why me?
Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade.
Why me?
With all the rulers in the world.
Why me?
Why here is I, this table filled with hay?
Why me?
She's just an
to think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth.
The plot thickened. Since news traveled slowly in those days, God spread the word in another way. He hung a star that could be seen from far away. Astronomers from the Far East saw it and recognized it as a sign that the King of the Jews had been born. They watched, they followed, and when they finally found him, they worshiped him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you.
Once upon a time in a land far away. Yes, that is how many legends are passed along. This story about the virgin birth, God's son being born in a stable, shepherds and wise men, is not a legend or a parable, a fairy tale or a bedtime story. It is not fiction. It is true, all true. And personally, I can't hear it enough. Even in true stories, everyone likes a happy ending, where all characters live happily ever after. But for that to happen in this story, there had to be a subplot, one that isn't as beautiful as the rest. It's the place where we become part of the story. This is where we realize that our lives are far from perfect, that we have no standing with a perfect God. That is, unless someone changes the plot. Though God knew all along that this was part of the design, still his heart was broken when, after 30 years since the magnificent scene in Bethlehem, it was time to sacrifice his precious son. Jesus would suffer a painful, humiliating death, and God laid upon His Son all of our sins, so we wouldn't have to carry them ourselves. But it's okay. God did it all because of His love for us. And that's the happily ever after. The sacrificed son did die, but on the third day he rose from the dead. The story is still going on, and because of the resurrection, we know the ending. The theme is hope and peace and eternal salvation. So how can you enter this story? First, you must believe that it's true, and then, by faith, accept the invitation to come and lay down everything before the Lord. And then your everlasting life can begin. Then go out and tell everybody you see the greatest story ever told.
Almighty God, we pray that you send us out with joy in our hearts, that we might go and tell all the glorious story, the greatest story. In Christ's name, amen. Go in peace.